today as we come to the table.
Right beyond the bull, this is that thing we're reading about now, 7 by 7, and the huge grill they would put there. Notice the symbolism God uses here in the metals. Overlay it with what? Bronze. Remember what we said bronze represents? Judgment. So as the animal is taking our judgment, the sacrifice is taking our judgment upon it and being offered up to God, even as Jesus was our sacrifice offered up before God. Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, its shovels, basins, forks, fire pans. You shall make the utensils. Look at all of bronze, because it's all the symbol of judgment for our sin.
You may find parts of the Bible tedious and, well, boring. Today's message covers a passage that many would say is exactly that. But, as you'll learn from Pastor Mark, the details of the tabernacle are anything but boring. In fact, there's a lot we can learn simply from the individual pieces being described here in the book of Exodus. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will be detailing the furniture of the tabernacle today, painting a picture not only of this place of worship, but of the place we will know one day as well, heaven. The tabernacle is a mirror of our final home with the Lord. It's also a symbol for what Jesus would become for us one day, a sacrifice to cover our sins. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 26 for today's edition of Come to the Table.
He goes on talking about the tabernacle. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains. Now, the curtains we're talking about are what we see surrounding it, okay? Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue and purple and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. Now, remember, this is a picture of heaven. And even the colors, notice this. You have in here the fine woven linen. You have the blue, which represents heaven, the purple, which represents kingly in Scripture, and the scarlet thread, which represents the blood of the Lord, the sacrifice, all shown here in the tabernacle, in the curtains that surround it. And in the curtains, they would weave all these pictures of angels. So imagine the curtains with all these angels in them. Why? Because in heaven around the throne, what are we going to see? All the angels surrounding the throne. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to another. So they would make sections of curtains, and then they would couple them together to make the one big long string of curtains that you see that go all the way around the tabernacle, because you couldn't make one curtain that long. So they made them in sections, they coupled them together. Verse 4, you shall make loops out of blue yarn. Again, that representation of heaven on the edge of the curtain and the self edge on one set. Likewise, you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain to the second set. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped one to another. Now, this can get confusing just reading it. But again, if you see the picture, it's just linking the curtains together and in groups of 10 curtains linked, a section of 5, a section of 5, then linked together, 50 clasps holding them together, 50 in Scripture being the number of Jubilee, the freedom of the Lord. All these things, again, you can go as deep as you want in this and spend forever in this stuff, you know, if you want to. And for those of you that have that personality, I encourage you to do it, because you just see more about the Lord as you do it. Verse 7, you shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and 11 cubits shall have the same measurement. So there were curtains that went over the top of the tabernacle as well. So flip to that page, the next shot there, Jim, showing the tabernacle with the curtains rolled back. It shows you the top part, the way the boards are linked together, and they would take these big sections of almost like rug-type curtains and roll one over the top, another over the top, another over the top, and so you can see a picture there of what this would have looked like. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain, that is the outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the second set. You shall make 50 bronze clasps. Now, even the metals, guys, I want you to be aware of this, because this is going to help you in all of your Bible study from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Every metal has a meaning as well. Bronze in Scripture always represents judgment. So as we see now, the curtains put over the tabernacle, it shows that God has judged sin. The place of God's dwelling, he has judged sin. It has now been judged. It is clasped together with that bronze, showing that God has paid the judgment. We now have the right to enter into this place, okay? So even the metals that are used are very symbolic and very important as they hang these over the top of the tabernacle. The remnant of the remains, verse 12, of the curtains of the tent, half the curtain that remains shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and a curtain on one side and a curtain on the other side, and what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on the side and on this side and on that side to cover it. And you can see there in the picture what that would look like, the artist's best rendering. You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent. Again, that symbol of blood. And the sacrifice of the ram, that is the adult lamb, the animal, the Lord's sacrifice. And a covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of wood standing upright. Now again, a lot of these were for the covering for whenever there were storms and different things and from the heat and all. But notice this also, you shall have these boards of acacia wood standing upright. You can see those in the picture as well. And the way they would have been linked together and the way they were clasped together. By seeing this, hopefully the visual will bring it to life to you. And the tabernacle you shall make with boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of each board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver. Note this, sockets of silver under the 20 boards. So underneath all these boards that ran the length of the tabernacle, underneath there was silver sockets. Why is that important? Even as bronze represents judgment, silver represents blood. And undergirding the tabernacle, the place where we can have fellowship with God because our sins have been judged, the foundation is underlaid with what? The blood of the Lord, silver. So the Lord here showing, even the very tabernacle is represented with his blood undergirding it. Kind of like when we put the Bibles up here in the foundation and we poured the foundation, we were building the church on the Word of God. I didn't really have any silver to put under there, but that would have been cool to throw some silver earrings or something underneath there. To represent the blood also being that under, you know, lining it and see all the women jumping in to get him out. But anyway, the lining of the blood underneath. So even, again, seeing the silver here being under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each board and its 2 tenons shows the covering, the foundation of blood in the place where we will meet with God in heaven forever. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards and there 40 sockets of silver as well. 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. And they shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Now again, why is it so tedious? Remember, they had to build this thing from these instructions. We're just reading through it, okay? But they had to build it, so that's why it's so detailed. Thus it shall be for both of them, and they shall do for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards, and you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 of the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars of boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars of boards on the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. Now notice that middle bar. See on the picture there, we have the bars running through those handles on the sides of the boards. So when you read this, now you can see a picture of what's going on. You shall overlay the boards with gold. Make their rings of gold as holders for the bars and overlay the bars with gold. Now, gold, again, has a meaning. Gold is the kingly metal. And, of course, the inside tabernacle being overlaid with gold would show this was the throne room of the King of the universe, our God. You shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. Can you imagine Moses being shown all this on the mountain and trying to write this? This had to be a lot of supernatural help, you know? I'm trying to write all this down and draw it out and go, okay, guys, it was like, you know, this is amazing. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet. Again, there's the heaven, the kingliness, and the blood, and fine woven linen. A linen is a priestly garment. We'll get to that when we look at the priestly clothing and talk a little bit more about that. It should be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. So here's, again, the angels. Remember, cherubs are angels. Cherubim, I am in the Hebrew, is like S for us in the English language. It's the plural. So there's going to be angels all around the inside of this thing too. So angels right around the throne. Remember the four cherubim that surround the throne that are underneath it. And the indication that there are also some cherubim or at least one that's above the Lord somewhere, because it talks about or behind him or whatever the cherub that covers, which Lucifer was. So it should be a design there showing what it's going to look like in heaven. Verse 32, you shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold on four sockets of silver. So you have the kingliness, you have the blood, and notice the four pillars that you hang these angels surrounding the throne. That's kind of neat to me because I don't know if this is really what the meaning is, but how many gospels do we have describing Jesus? Isn't that neat? The four pillars surrounding that picture of the throne. It is the four pillars, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You cannot get a full picture of Jesus without all four. If you want a full picture of Jesus, you need those four pillars to really get a picture of what's going on there. And so the blood, the gold, 33, you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. Again, now the veil's been torn. Praise God for that. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. Remember, the holy place was that room of intimacy I talked about, that first place the priest went in the Holy of Holies behind that veil where only the high priest could go once a year. So that was a dividing place between them. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from it. Now, that is the table of showbread. Now, the lampstand outside, this is in that room of intimacy, I'm calling it. That's not the official biblical name. I'm making an application to us, all right? It's called the most holy place in the Bible. But the most holy, or what I'm calling the room of intimacy with the Lord, you shall put the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. You shall put the table on the north. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and they shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Chapter 27, you shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square. Its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make horns on the four corners. Now, this is that horn of the altar we talked about. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Now, this is that altar, 7 feet high, 7 feet wide, 7 feet in both directions, okay? So this is a big grill. And they would cut the animals up. This is the altar of sacrifice. See the bronze altar there. As you came in, see the bull there, right beyond the bull. This is that thing we're reading about now, 7 by 7. And the huge grill they would put there. Notice the symbolism God uses here in the metals. Overlay it with what? Bronze. Remember what we said bronze represents? Judgment. So as the animal is taking our judgment, the sacrifice is taking our judgment upon it and being offered up to God, even as Jesus was our sacrifice offered up before God. Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, its shovels, basins, forks, fire pans. You shall make the utensils. Look at that, all of bronze. Because it's all the symbol of judgment for our sin. You shall make a grate for it. Now, this we call the grill. A network of bronze. See, even it's bronze, everything. On the network, you shall make 4 bronze rings on its corners. You shall put under it the rim of the altar beneath, that a network may be midway up the altar. So about midway up inside is where you put that grill. You shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. So even the poles overlaid with bronze. Everything to do with it had to do with judgment. The poles you shall put in the rings, and the poles shall be on the two sides of the altar to bear it. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it is shown you on the mountain, so you shall make it. Now we come to the court of the tabernacle. Now the court is that area right when you entered in through the door, that open area where the altar is and where the bull is and the tables of sacrifice, that's the court area. All right, so now we're reading about that. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side, there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side. These are the curtains again being described around it. And its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Again, bronze showing the judgment and yet hanging on the blood of Christ, hanging on silver. Our wall of protection, our place of intimacy with God hangs on the blood. Isn't that great? I love it. Likewise, along the length of the north side, there shall be hangings, 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks and pillars and their bands of silver. And along with the width of the court of the west side, there shall be hangings of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. A lot of this is repetitive, so I'm moving quickly. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings On one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three sockets. On the other side there shall be hangings of 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three sockets. For the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. There's that whole picture again of heaven and kingliness and the blood. Fine woven linen, showing his priestliness to us. Made by a weaver, and it shall have four pillars and four sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, the height 5 cubits, made of fine woven linen and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle and all of its service, the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. Again, so we see all the symbolism of judgment and blood and all this going on there. Now the lampstand. This is cool. Note this. This is that light, the golden menorah that was in that room of intimacy, or really what is called the holy place. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil. This is olive oil. Of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Now, this is what's awesome to me. When we were in Israel, we got to see one of these oil presses, one of the ancient oil presses. And the oil would come in three phases. You would take the pit. Now, the oil doesn't come from the green part or the black part of the olive. It comes from the pit. And so you would take the pit, and the very first crushing, they would put these bags of rocks and these weights on it. The very first crushing of the pits was the pure oil. That was the pure stuff. I mean, the best stuff. It came draining out. That was the only oil that could be used in the tabernacle. It could only be from the first crushing. Then they would recrush another, the same pits. They'd recrush them again. Another oil would come out. That oil could be used for food. It was for man. You would use it in your cooking and whatever, etc. Your ointments. They used it as a medicine or whatever. Then they had the third crushing. And the third crushing was simply an oil that was used, you know, just for lighting lamps in your house. It was the oil that wasn't to be eaten. It wasn't pure enough to be in the tabernacle, but it was to light a lamp and to give light. Now, what is so neat to me about that? Because what a picture of the Holy Spirit and of the Trinity we have there. The first and purest oil, God, that purity in heaven that we're going to enter into when we enter into the heavenly tabernacle. The second crushing of oil was for man. God became a man to the earth, the second part of the Trinity, the second crushing of the oil, if you will. And God became a man and died for us and lived for us. And it's that whole picture of Jesus, that, you know, the second part of the Trinity dwelling among man, not in the purest state of heaven because he took on the form of man, not a sinner, but not in the purest state of heaven because man, because flesh can't inhabit heaven, but as a man, that second part of the Trinity. So the Father, the Son, the last crushing, it was used for what? To light the oil lamps. In the homes, in the businesses, in the restaurants, the Holy Spirit, the lighting of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, giving that light, giving that insight to God's word and the insight to that walk with the Lord and all that comes with that. So the symbolism here, when you go and see these things over in Israel and you begin to understand this better, is even all the neater. And notice verse 21, in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. So it was the priest's job to tend to all the holy articles of the tabernacle. Guys, who are the priests today? You! That means it is your job to tend to the articles of the tabernacle. Mark, what do you mean? Well, the manna. To be eating the manna, to be making sure your lamps are filled with oil and shining brightly, to be making sure that the altar of incense is constantly offering up prayers to God, to make sure that you're cleansed and you recognize that cleansing by the blood and the sacrifice, all the symbolism that is there, showing people the door and the way in, working toward that deeper intimacy with the Lord. You know, as I was looking at this today, it's interesting, when they made the golden lampstand, it couldn't be made in a mold. It was made of one piece of gold, and it was hammered gold. Now, why is that interesting to me? One piece of gold, hammered gold, couldn't be made in a mold, had to be hammered. And by the time it was hammered by the expert craftsman's detailed attention, it was able to give the brightest light for God that would shine in the holiest room there. What is my point in that? You guys ever feel hammered? I'm just getting hammered this week, man. I've been hammered for months. I've been hammered for years, some of you must. I'm just getting hammered. It seems like, God, what's going on in my life? I'm just getting hammered, God. I'm getting hammered. That's right, my child. because I'm making you into something that is going to shine beautifully in my tabernacle when I'm done. You may not like the hammering right now, but when I'm done, man, are you going to shine? Isn't that sweet? God is good. Now we come to the garments. Look at chapter 28. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister to me as priest. Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So now the priest that would work there in the temple, again, we're symbolized in these guys. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and beauty. So again, look at this now. The garments that we are to wear as priests of God are to be holy and beautiful. Listen, guys, God wants us living holy lives. If you're not living a holy life, you're not beautiful to God. Does he love you just as much? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. Are you beautiful to God? No. Doesn't mean he didn't love you. But notice this whole picture here. We are now priests to God. We should be living holy lives. That just simply means lives set apart for God. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're in the boat, but water's not in the boat. You know, the boat goes out in the water, right? As we go out in the world to minister. But if we get water in the boat, what happens? We sink. So we're not to be like the world. We're to be in the world, not of the world. We are to be holy and to have these holy garments. And if we are, then notice they are for glory and they are for beauty. And the Bible says there's beauty in holiness. Beauty. It's beautiful to the Lord. When we're walking holy, it's like, yeah, you know, look at my bride. She's looking good. Now, God still loves his bride when she's looking like me and sometimes all ratty. Maybe spiritually, not walking like I should, not in the word, not in prayer, maybe a little bit fleshly. But how nice it is to get all dolled up for God. I like it. When Tracy's looking good, I'm just going to say it, all right? To me, she's always looking good. But when she dresses up, it's like, whoa, you know. And any husband's going to say the same thing about his wife. Not about my wife, about his wife. What do you think our heavenly husband thinks when he looks at us? Guys, when he sees us tonight, are we dolled up in the spirit? Does God look at me and go, man, Mark, you really got dressed up for me. I mean, you're really in the word and prayer and you worshiped me and you're looking good. Thanks, Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that if I'm not, he goes, you know, you old hag. God sees me in my haggardness and still goes, man, I love you so much. You're a knockout to me. Because he loves us no matter what. But how nice it is to know in the spirit we're dolling up for him. Are you guys with me? And the symbolism here of them just looking good for the Lord, you know, how God wants us to look for him and not living like the world, having glory and beauty and holiness. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with my spirit and wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which you shall make, a breastplate and an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, for your brother, and for your sons, that they may minister to me as priests. Starting with the ephod. Now notice this. They shall take gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen. And they shall make an ephod of gold, blue, purple. Again, there's the whole kingliness, the heavenliness. The purple would be the kingly again, royalty. Scarlet thread, the blood, the fine woven linen, and artistically worked. By the way, God always had the priests wear linen. Because linen breathes, and it's not a hot garment. What is my point in that? When we are truly, and I'm not there, I wish I was, but when we truly have matured to where we truly serve the Lord in whatever ministry God's called us to, guys, we should never sweat. It's the linen garment of just, you know, this is cool serving the Lord.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.